We're to be, and we're to be a holy nation. A holy, as citizens, who is a citizen have his allegiance to? To the country that he is a part of, right? Bible says we're citizens of heaven, and that's where our allegiance is. And not only are we citizens, we're called to be a holy nation. Holy meaning what? Set apart for whose purposes? God's purposes. We're a holy nation. That's why we're still here. We're set apart for his plans and purposes. And God also describes us as his very own possession. There's probably some different words in here than you might be used to hearing from this, but I did it out of the New Living Translation. Because there were some of the ways that it brought these truths across that, number one, is sometimes it's good for us to kind of get out of what we're familiar with because it makes us think better, think more. And number two, it really just brought this a little more clearly. We are his very own possession. And the Bible says, as a result of all these things, he said, or the NIV says, so that you may show others the goodness of God. We're all these things for the purpose of being witnesses, that others might know him. And it says, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Who's the you? Raise your hand if you're a you. Yep, that's us. That's us. He did it for you, didn't he? And he wants to do it for everyone. He wants to do it for everyone. That's why he paid the terrible price on the cross, that all, every man, every woman, every boy and girl might have the ability to, by faith in Christ and what he did on the cross, be restored to relationship with God. So he wants to call everyone, and the question is, am I engaged? Am I shining? Am I being a light for the people around me? As we're going through this, think about the people you engage with, that you work with, that you go to school with, that you are neighbors to, that you live in the same household with, that you go to the store and talk to. Am I engaged? Because guess what? What's an easy response to the tenseness and the tension in our culture today? What's the easy response? Yeah, I'll just kind of hide until this all blows over because this is too stressful and too tense. I don't want to deal with it. It's not an option for us. It's not an option for us. We're called to be light and we're called to be engaged. But at the same time, we can engage in all different kinds of ways, can't we? We can't really be a light to people unless we're real. This might be something that God might be calling you to deal with as you relate with people. We're needing to be a real and transparent people. We can real easily slip on the mask and have the talking points laid out without being willing to sit down with somebody and just have a transparent, honest, open conversation. And now, that's not always comfortable nor easy, is it? So necessary, particularly for the church. As believers, we are under a microscope. I've seen discussions that the church is feeling very political to people right now, prejudiced against people, backwoods, out of touch. We have to be willing to listen and respond. It's easy to get mad, isn't it? It's easy to get defensive, but we can't get defensive. We don't have that option. We're supposed to be light. And so we have to enter into these not always comfortable conversations. listen to people, listen to what's on their hearts and minds, and try to engage and respond to difficult questions. Hey, let's be honest with one another. We all had to choose between a disrespectful candidate, a dishonest president candidate, or neither. Am I right? This is the hard truth. This was not an easy choice for anybody. Can any of us really, we've got to be able to look at one another and say, you know what? You voted for candidate A. And you know what? I understand. I may not agree for this and this, but I understand why you voted in this direction. And the other person's got to be able to look and say, you know what? I can understand to some degree why you voted in the way that you did. We need to be able to look at each other and have that kind of real and honest conversation in this time. If we don't, then we're not going to get anywhere doing the most important thing, and that's not getting somebody elected. It is reaching the world for Christ. That is the most important thing. The reality is that both of our main candidates were flawed. You know why? Because they're human. They were flawed. They were broken people. They were both in need of transformation. Does that sound familiar to you? Does that remind you of somebody? Should I put up a big, huge mirror? That's me. I'm flawed. I'm deeply flawed. I'm broken, just like our candidates were, just like the people sitting around me that wrestled and struggled through this difficult voting process. I'm someone that God called out of darkness, as we are all somebody that God either has called out of darkness or is wanting to call out of darkness. We're all that. So as we look at these things, we've got to be willing to be real with ourselves and real with each other. And that comes, you know what it requires to do that? Humility. Humility. Let humility be your light. Maybe this is going to be one of the ones that you've got to just jot down in your faith journal and say, God, yeah, you may need to work on me on this one. This is a great verse that I thought was important to bring into this discussion. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, and say it with me, God opposes the proud, but gives favor to the humble. That word favor is also given as grace in the NIV. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So those of us that may be spiking the football after this election, saying get over it, deal with it, the Bible says, you know, don't lord it over others. Don't. This is where pride can take us in wrong places. Should we celebrate the things that we strove for, the reason we may have voted in a particular way? Yes. Celebrate what you feel that God called you to do, the reason why you felt you voted the way you did. Celebrate if you feel like God has answered in those prayers. But it's not the time to be pushing it in people's faces. And I saw that out there. And I called some people on the carpet on that to say, this is not what believers are supposed to be doing. We need to humble ourselves, and that means dealing with the good and the bad in ourselves as well as in other people. Humility is just an honest assessment of yourself. What's shining in my life? And say, you know what? If I need to make sure that it's humility, because God gives favor to the humble. He opposes the proud. Anybody want to be in the God's opposing me place in life? That's not a good place. The place to be is, God, please bring humility to me, humility to our president-elect, humility to our people. Help me. Start with me. Help me to be a humble person. You know, there are those that were, you know, that have taken to name calling, or being painting with a broad brush of accusation of the way people, because of the way somebody voted, that they are, you know, bigoted or this or that. And we have to say, we need to humble ourselves. We can't, you know what happens when we point the finger? We got three fingers pointing back at us. Humility is where God will use you. If people want to change what's happened and they're concerned about, and understandably concerned about some of the outcomes of this election, it's got to be dealt with humbly. Because as we've talked about, there were problems in both candidates. Nobody is standing there in a place of purity saying, why not my guy or whatever. We were both in the same boat, and it could have gone either way. But what is shining in my life is humility as I deal with this, as I try to have conversations with people. As the church, as the body of Christ, we have to be a humble people. Because the truth is, this truth is why no one shines brighter than humble people in the world. Think about it. Think about the people that have transformed the world, made a difference. You think about the Mother Teresa's. You think about the Billy or Franklin Graham's, or the Martin Luther King's. The William Booth's started the Salvation Army. These are people that were just humble servants of others. Those are the ones that shine. Why? Why is that? Because God shows favor to the humble. God, I beg you, for me, make me a humble person as we interact with our fellow countrymen. God, make our president-elect a humble man. God, help him to be humble. God, help our congressmen and women to be humble servants. That should be our prayer, because that's how God is going to shine his light and gives more favor. And as we recognize that, humility helps us to recognize that they need God's grace, the candidates did, we need God's grace, it gives us the opportunity to tell our own story of God's grace as light of hope for the people that we interact with. So as we're talking to people and talking about some of this difficult things, we recognize, you know what? That's a broken person. Yes, they have problems. Yes, I'm concerned. Yes, but I'm praying for them because I know what God's done in my life. Because you know what? I was a broken person too. And God took this broken person and he made something so much better out of him than was ever going to be without God. And I believe that because he did that in me, I believe that he can do that in anybody, including the people that work in our government. So let your own story be what gives hope in this and shines light in our culture and in our world today. Stop and think about, okay, how has God fixed this broken man? That is your story of hope for the nation. So when people are concerned or worried or angry, you've got a story to tell, and it's your own. God, you fixed me. I believe he can fix our nation too. That's my hope. But you know what? Before you tell your own story, you know what you need to do? What was that? Yeah, listen to their story. We're quick to want to throw out what we think, right? Take the time to stop and listen to their story. Listen to their concerns. Listen to their fears, their worries. They've got legitimate ones. We need to be willing to listen and say, I got it. I hear you. I understand. That's part of being real. And you have the opportunity to say, you're right, I get you. But that's why I'm hopeful, because I know what God's done in me. I know he's changed me. He's made me a different man, different than I ever could have been without him. And that's your hope. That's being light. Humility, the favor of God, the light of what God has done in transforming your life. We were once not a people. We had no identity, right? But now we are God's people. That's my story. Once I hadn't received mercy. I had rejected God. Now I've received mercy. That's our story. That's our story of hope. Because reality, we are all Trump and Clinton in some way, aren't we? Am I right? Are they any different than you or I? No. They really are not. We are looking at ourselves in the mirror, and if God can do it and has done it in my life, he can do it in their life as well. So, lastly, as we give light, let it be a reflection of Jesus. Paul said, dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, again, this is our citizenship is not here. Be careful to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. There is a world that is trying to tear you down. And they will use, you know what they use, that the world uses and Satan uses? He loves to use our emotions. Isn't that when we get in the most trouble, is when we react out of emotion rather than stopping and thinking and considering and praying? That's what he gets me. We have to be careful to not allow our desires, our temptations to lead us, but stop and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And be careful, as this verse says, to live carefully, live properly among the people around us that are not believers. Why? So that they will see your, as the Living Translation puts it, your honorable behavior. Your honorable behavior. Behavior that is worthy of honor. And with that, they will give honor to God when he judges the world. I want to take some time to think about these things. What is God calling you to live and give as you're trying to be a light for Jesus? Of course, we've got to give Jesus to people. That's the only hope. Are you needing to give more grace, undeserved love to the people, to someone around you? Maybe God's putting somebody on your heart that you've begun to talk to. Is that work or school or at home or even? To give love, to be able to give understanding, to say, I've not really sat down and said, talk to me. Tell me what you're thinking. I'm listening. I want to hear what is on your mind. Maybe parents, that can be us. We sometimes don't allow for that. We just say, nope, this is what I think is the right thing, and that's it. And we don't take the time to stop and listen, to say, let me talk to me. It may or may not change my mind, but I want to hear what what's on your heart and mind. Understanding. People will be a lot better listeners when they know they've been listened to, right? That's pretty true. Hope, we got to be givers of hope. And our story, hope is right at the foundation of that. Or living humility, living out truth. It's not always easy to say, and sometimes in these conversations where you're trying to understand somebody, sometimes you got to speak truth, and sometimes you'll disagree with the person. But disagreeing in the context of trying to understand one another is so much better than disagreeing without listening to the other person. Joy, we should be the most joyful people. Right, Norma? Of all people, we should be the most joyful people. We should be people of purpose. Is there purpose in our lives? Strength to say, I'm going to stand even in the midst of the storm. I am not going to be backed up. I'm not going to become weak. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be a person of strength and action. And yes, that most always requires sacrifice, right? So what if you were to pick one or two things that God is calling you to do in this tense environment of our nation at this point to be a light, what might that be? And why? Or if just what is fine too. I'm interested. Anybody have any things that, boy, this is something I just really need to do and change? And yeah, I'm putting you on the spot, aren't I? But if we need to start being people who are willing to talk. Brian, am I on here? Yeah.
I think a big thing in today's animosity between liberals and conservatives is we can see each other's side of it, but you talk about being humble, but also you have to speak truth and be a light. Mm-hmm. And not only the truth of the Bible, but also the truth of what you're really feeling and try and feel what they're feeling too. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can bring the Bible into it by putting out a verse too or something, but just to have more of an open mind and not just, this is my position, that's it, and pound away at it.
Right. Yeah, it's okay to say, share your opinion, but be willing to listen. We gotta listen to hear from the other person. It's both are good. Anybody else? Thank you, Brian. I'm putting you on the spot, I know. I want to think about how can I begin to be a person that shares. Oh, sorry, thank you. Lights are off back there. Betty has something to say.
I went and voted for Trump and held my nose and voted. But I said to the Lord, neither one of those persons were really worthy to be president. So I started praying, asked God to forgive me first for my thoughts and so on. And then I prayed for America. We are Americans, we are Christians, we have a responsibility, and life will go on.
Amen.
So I've been praying ever since, okay?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it was a difficult decision.
Very hard. For
many people, it was a very labored and difficult decision. And that's understandable. Oh, did you want to share something, Logan? All right.
Betty could have said it any better.
I agree.
I really had to pray over this decision on Tuesday. And as for Clinton and Trump, I've been praying that both of those presidents should be Christians inside, because I understand how tough they are. Trump, on the other hand, has been cruel over the years. He's 70 years old, but I'm still praying that he shows a Christian inside of him.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they've both had a history, haven't they? I think you're gonna, whether I no. Vote for Betty.
I didn't finish what I was gonna say. I've been watching Franklin Graham, and he said none of this does any good. We need revival. Pray like we've never prayed before. All of you, promise me you'll pray once a day, okay?
Amen.
All right,
Logan. That's what we've been praying for in House of Prayer on Wednesday nights. We're just praying. Oh, God, we need you working in our lives. I thought I saw another hand.
I was just going to say, as far as conversations with people who have a different point of view politically, just sometimes, like you were saying, the emotions get like, because you have such different positions. But that verse just came to my mind about a gentle word turns away wrath, but a harsh word something stirs up anger. So, you know, just try to be gentle in your speech, and then all of a sudden, hopefully the tone of the conversation will kind of come down.
Yeah, it's a good word. Yep, discussions rather than reaction. All right. Michael.
This is for myself. Pray for understanding on my own part, because I don't know if any of you have me on Facebook, but right after the election, I was pretty like upset. And said a lot of stuff, and I just pray for understanding myself. Now that explosion of emotion is over for me, just pray for understanding on my own part of other people's opinions.
Appreciate that, Michael. Yeah, it's, I put some thoughts out, but I really stepped back because there was a very emotional time for a lot of people. I mean, I hear you, but I appreciate that, Michael. That's a good place to be, to say, as we're all, it's where we're all needing to be, right? Let me try to understand and help you try to understand me. And
back in the early 90s, I went to Lansing many times, and Washington. I was involved in the political process behind the scenes, helping people who held certain positions that I agreed with. But as time went on, I realized that unless the change came from the inside, that the battle to try to change something from the outside was useless.
That's true.
And so I came to the place where I realized that unless Jesus is in the heart, there's not going to be a change. And I said, you know what? I have to drop all this. And I did. I dropped it stone cold and said, I need to be able to share Jesus with people. I need to be able to share the love of the Lord. And that's what changes. He's the one that changes the heart, not me. Not any laws on the outside, right. Nothing else that's going to matter. What really matters is what's on the inside.
That's the truth. And only God can do that. Appreciate you opening up on a very tender subject and a tender time. But as we begin to live out and to give out these things, we can begin to make a difference in our nation. We can begin to be the light that brings hope, healing, that there is. Betty, you're right. You've lived a few years, a couple of years longer than me, right? And we've gone through terribly difficult times in our country, and you know what? We're still here, and we'll continue. Did we have to wrestle with some deep things? We have had to wrestle with some deep things in our country, and we've made progress with them. We have more to go, don't we? We absolutely do. And so let's just be a people of prayer that really, as Joe very put very well, that he comes and does the inside out change. Because if we try to, if we just try to make laws, do laws change hearts? If I tell you you can't have that chocolate to somebody who loves chocolate, does that make them stop wanting the chocolate? Heck, no way. They probably want the chocolate even more now, right? Yeah, laws don't change hearts. Scripture talks about that. It doesn't change the person. Only God can change the person. When the heart is changed, the actions change. It can't happen the other way around. So let's pray for a changed heart. I'm praying for that for our president-elect. There are things about him that I'm very concerned about, and there are things that he talked about that I'm very excited about. I have both of these conflicting thoughts going on. Somebody wants to get last word. Yes, Nancy.
Hello.
This is Nancy, for those that haven't met her yet. Nancy and Paul, their kids.
We voted for Trump. And the reason the reason why, as a mother, I chose him is because we have a large age gap between our kids. We have almost 24-year-old and a 9-year-old. And if anybody has children that were born in the 90s or early 90s, think about the discussions that you had with them and the morals that were on the table. Now think about the discussions that you would have with your growing up children, maybe 7, 8, 9, 10, before they get into the education of things, if you will. Think about the conversations that you would have with them now. Even as far as public restrooms are related, it is troubling and it is disturbing that we would even compromise any of our morals. What is the reasons why we need to have such broad laws and why things are such a stronghold? Because the immorality of people has gone so sky high that the Christian values are completely swept underneath the rug.
Been thrown out the window.
And as a mother of a millennial, the millennials don't have children. And the millennials do not know what it will be like to have those discussions with your kids as a Christian family trying to raise them amongst wolves. And there are wolves out there that are waiting in bathrooms. And I'm not talking about the people that choose to have different ways of dressing. I'm talking about the wolves that look for these opportunities to destroy and take and mutilate our values. So as Pastor was talking many weeks ago, we have a choice to choose. And if we humble ourselves and turn from evil, he will heal our lands. Our land is not healed at all. And you have a choice between choosing a lot of what people want. What you want, what you want, what you want. I want this and I want that. What does God want? What does he want to see in our kids? And what does he want us to teach our children? And how are we going to keep our families safe? That's what it comes down to. It does not come down to race. It does not come down to the things that the media is talking about. That is completely wrong. Because the media is going to paint certain people wrong, and that is a lie. So just as a mother.
Okay. Well, that is a picture of some of the tense conversations. How do we have a conversation like this, keeping ourselves calm and being willing to say, tell me what you think. Tell me how are you feeling about this? Do you see the challenge?
Yes.
Because when it comes to children, and I'll do one more and then we're gonna call it because I don't wanna stay here all afternoon. This is what I'm most, is this about this? Okay. Because I don't want to get off on political things, because this wasn't a political thing. This was a heart thing, right? So, yeah.
Just quickly said, I am a mother of a millennial, and I'm not going to talk politics.
Thank you.
I was very thankful to hear your sermon this morning about listening to the story. I just want to say real quick, not political, my son was staying up all night, and I listened to his story. I listened to him because he knows this isn't right. And I had a lady, I don't have Facebook. I was listening to this young man talk about his Facebook. I haven't had Facebook in 5 years because I'm not gonna agree to disagree, but I view it as an addiction to me because I had so many friends and I don't get anything done. Now, what I was saying on the story, I had a lady this morning, I do have lupus. I do have a lupus team and it's run like a Facebook. It's just about the same. And I had a lady, she was falling apart on the lupus team this morning before I came to church. And I could have made enemies with her, but I didn't. The very first thing I said, why don't you finish your story? Let me hear what you have to say. So she wrote it all down. I was even showing my husband her post. And the very thing that I knew what to do, my husband said, great job. What I said is, how can I pray for you? Hmm. And this is where society is going wrong. We need to ask somebody when they're saying you're stupid, calling you names, whatever they call you, how can we pray for you? On Facebook, I was on Facebook. I had 1,000 friends at one time, and I know how Facebook is run. It's like a gang. I mean, you put something down and somebody will say this, this, and this, but where is people saying, how can I pray for you? How can I make this better? How do you feel today? What can I do for you? Would you like to speak to me privately? Would you like to message me? I know all about Facebook. I used to have it. But however, I mean, it was an addiction. I don't mean to take up your time. Sorry.
That's fine. That's fine.
But
no, that's
it's
a good
just
word.
The views, as you were saying that this morning, it was kind of hitting home because I do have a millennial. My son is going to be 22. And when he was staying up all night, he knew this election was not right. He knew it. Now, all the people that we see protesting in the streets, we could actually have Christians out there. Where are they? How can we pray for you? How can we do something for you? But that's just my take on the situation, yeah. And that was just bothering me to say something.
No, I appreciate that. That's we need to do just that. Let me listen. How can I pray for you? How can I not just back
that's
and forth opinions.
That hit home. You have to listen. Mm-hmm. Because you're dealing with a different generation.
And even, not even just generationally, but just people.
Just real quick.
Okay.
I just thought here just to say that the more we can not assume about each other, but just listen to each other and to pray and to let each other know Jesus' love. I think that's really wonderful. Mm-hmm. I agree, I guess.
Yeah, that's, yep. Learn how to listen and empathize, and that will be with humility, that will go miles to helping us as the church, be a light in a tense and chaotic world. So, that's your assignment. Nothing big, right? No big deal. I'm going to pray because guess whose strength you're going to do it in? Yeah, not yours, not mine. It's in God's strength of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, would you bless each one of us? We recognize how desperately we need you. We're begging and asking, Lord, that you give us more grace. Give us your favor, Lord, as we humble our hearts. Just be used by you, Lord God, to go and speak and talk and listen and engage with people and love them and give them hope, Lord God, for a time when it feels fearful and hopeless, Lord. Help us to be a people of hope. And we'll thank you, Lord, for how you do that. Bless our day as we go forth. May you use us for your work today in the lives of your people and the lives of the people in our nation. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great day.